Well, hello everyone that I haven't talked to yet. My name is Tony Hilsendegger. I own Straight Line RV and Boat. I've got a shop here in Springfield, right down the road, and then I have one in Phoenix, Arizona as well. I've been doing this since probably as long as most of these coaches. I was probably working on some of these coaches when they were made. So being that I'm from right down the road, Harrisburg was not far away. We did a lot of body and paint warranty work right around 1995 is when I got into it. So everything made from 95 on was something that that's my era of stuff I was working on under warranty when it was brand new. I didn't work directly for Safari, but I did work for a company that did their Safari overflow warranty, because everybody would show up in the summer. You know, Monaco and Safari were both great at way over scheduling the amount of warranty work they could possibly get done, and then they needed somebody to do it that they could count on. And they especially liked us for the people that were extra picky, and they said, hey, we have just the place for you, we're going to send you to this other guys. So we dealt with a lot of those, but so like I said, I've done a lot of warranty body and paint work, and then of course collision repair and painting as well. So that's since 1995. We're looking at what, 28 years now of doing it. I started my shop in February 2008, so I've been doing that ever since. I love RVs, it's a big part of my life. I spend more nights out of the year in an RV than I do in a house by a long shot, I think. So I like that. I was gonna just kinda tailor a little bit of the most frequently asked questions that really apply to the Safari Treks in particular. And then have questions and answers for anybody that's, if you guys got questions, just shoot them my way. Don't pretend to know everything, but I have seen a lot. Yet I still get surprised when I get all the time, well, I haven't seen that yet. You know, I've seen a lot, but I hadn't seen that one. So that still happens even after all this time. So some of the first kind of things I was going to talk about, and I know a lot of you guys have done this for a long time, so you really know your coach as well, probably more than most RVers. You're not the typical we just bought our coach, you know, or our trailer last year or 6 months. So
that's them.
All right, so there's since I'm gonna try to go give an overview. So for some of you, you already know all this stuff. For others, maybe it's the first time hearing it. So one of the big differences obviously with the Safaris is the aluminum sidewalls. So there's the pros and cons to this. And the biggest pro is that you guys aren't dealing with the fiberglass checking like probably 80 or 90% of the other coaches built in this time period are. That's a huge plus, because it's a really, I go through, it's probably the number one thing I get asked when I do rallies, what can I do about the checking? And I just have to tell you, I just have bad news for you. You know, this, I know your coach is beautiful and everything else is perfect and it's got 30,000 miles, but to fix the checking on the fiberglass, it would be a complete basically like re-siding or re-fiberglassing the whole coach, and you're going to spend $60,000+ to do that. So the good news is you guys don't have that. The bad news is you guys have corrosion that they don't have. So yeah, and you, most if any of them, you know, especially that's a very common area there, because if you have any moisture added to that with any dissimilar metals, so if you have a metal screw touching the aluminum sidewall, you add a little bit of moisture to it, it's going to, not very long, you're going to start seeing that electrolysis start developing. So, that's one of the things I want to talk about. What do you do about it? So, the first thing I tell people every time is make sure that it's not still leaking. So, that's number one thing. If it's still leaking, then you're just wasting time and money. So, find the leak, make sure that it's no longer leaking. It's not going to continue to get worse. That's the first thing. The next thing, then we have to kind of decide, how bad is it? How bad does it really bother you? Because there isn't a good repair. It's kind of like, you've heard of rust being like a cancer. Well, electrolysis is also like that. So, if, you know, you stop the leak, it's probably going to slow it down, but you're not going to eliminate it completely. And it is deteriorating the aluminum skin. So, eventually that will develop into an actual hole in the aluminum, where you're looking at your wood paneling behind it, the little one behind it. So, you do want to stop it from getting worse as much as possible, but you can't eliminate it completely. What we do most of the time is we're going to grind out everywhere that we can see that it's been impacted by the corrosion. We try and eliminate as much of that as possible. We treat it, try and convert what's there, and then go ahead and paint that area that's that's been damaged. But that's one of those kind of repairs that I will not do a warranty. I've had it come back too many times. I said, well, how long will it last? Well, it can last 6 years, it could last 6 months, it can last 6 weeks. I've had some that never made it out of the shop. It was a very, very wet Safari. And, you know, this was years ago, and I said, I can't tell you how long it's going to last. And before it ever even left, I mean, it was 2 days later, it was already starting to come back again. So that was the most extreme case. Sometimes they last for years and years. The leak has been, you know, fixed, and they're kept inside, and they just weren't exposed to a lot of salty air. That's another one that's pretty bad. So that's the good and the bad, the pros and the cons. Like I said, most of you guys are probably aware of that. The good news is that you don't have to worry about the checking like everybody else does right now. So that's a huge plus for the Safaris. So I wanted to also talk about probably the next most common question, or possibly as much as checking, is my clear coat's peeling. It's probably the number one, because it really affects everybody. Everybody's got a clear. So a lot of times I also hear my gel coat is peeling. Well, I want to clarify the difference, because this is probably the most misunderstood thing in our industry, is gel coat and clear coat are very different. Although they sound the same, they are nothing the same. So the gel coat is actually what's underneath. So on, say, like the front cap on this coach right here is the front piece, that whole piece that came out of a mold. So what happened, the way you build a part in a mold is you're going to have the shape of the mold. You're going to spray gel coat in first, and then you're going to spray your fiberglass in. Then you're going to let it cure, and then you pop it out of the mold, and the gel coat, which was the first thing into the mold, that's what you see. That what gives you a smooth surface that allows you to paint it, and it does a nice job of finishing the ugliness of the backside of the fiberglass. Is now a smooth surface that you have to sand and paint. So RV manufacturers, looking at saving money as they always do, decided that, hey, this stuff looks pretty good on its own. Let's just add some stripes to this and just send it. And so, which looked fine for, you know, a first few years, and then you start really seeing that really chalky look that you'll see on a lot of coaches, that's gel coat. That is not clear coat. That's gel coat. It looks white and chalky, or a lot of times we'll have it coming down off of our roofs, because most of our roofs only have a fiberglass gel coat finish. They're not actually painted all the way across. So that white haze that you see, that's gel coat. That's just aging and deterioration that's going to happen every time the gel coat's exposed to the sun. Because really, truly, that's not what it's intended for. It should be painted. Again, you guys don't have to worry about it on your sidewalls, because you all have full body paint on the sidewalls. Clear coat is what most of you have, and that's what you see that looks like somebody had a sunburn and the skin's peeling off of it. That's except for your paint's peeling off. That's the clear coat. So that's a base coat clear coat. It cannot be applied or repaired on its own. So it was sprayed as you put a sealer, a base coat, and a clear coat all go on within minutes of each other, so they form and lock into one. When one deteriorates and goes away, when the clear coat goes away, you can't just add more clear coat. It has to be sanded completely down and start over with the sealer, the base coat, and the clear coat. That's a very, very common thing that I hear. Well, why can't we just put clear? The rest of the paint looks fine. Well, because you can't sand the faulty clear off without sanding through the thin base coat layer below it. So that's another very, very common thing that we see a lot of. So the fiberglass cracking that you do see a lot of times on your front and back caps, maybe around some of your wheel openings, most of those cracks are just stress cracks from time and flex. And it's very common, and it's not necessarily something to be concerned of. So that was the next thing I kind of want to talk about, is what things do you really need to worry about, and what things are just part of it having age and character from being an older coach. So those stress cracks are not something that I put as a high priority. They're really just cosmetic. And so they're not going to introduce water. Like if you have a crack down in here in this wheel well panel, it's not going to introduce water to the inside. It's probably not going to grow. It may have been like that since the first year it was made, and it's been like that ever since. So those aren't really something you have to worry about. The electrolysis I touched on earlier leads to the most important thing that I would stress to everyone, is your sealant. So the sealant is the number one most important thing from a body and paint perspective to maintain the exterior coach. That's your roof sealant, your sealant around your moldings, especially your gutters, any protrusion, anything that goes, perforation that goes through the wall, it should have sealant maintained. And that's at least once a year you're going through and inspecting it, or more often, looking for any types of shrinkage, cracking, deterioration, missing areas of sealant, because that's what leads to the worst damage that you can have on the coach, and that's water damage. So that would be probably one of the biggest takeaways as far as maintaining your body, is making sure that your sealant is in good condition. The roof sealant is it can be a pain to get up there. So if you're not getting up there yourself, have somebody else go up there and look at it. It's not a very difficult thing to assess. If it looks really dried and cracked and you can see gaps in it, it's bad. If it looks pretty smooth and still in pliable condition, then it's probably fine. So definitely be checking on your sealant. That's something that's absolutely worth spending money on. As far as like, we get a lot of questions on the rock chips on the front of the cap, as well as that cracking in the front bumper area that's molded in on the front of the cap. A lot of trucks will have that in that front area. So it's one of those where it's not critical. It really is just an aesthetic repair. If I was going to fix one area on a coach, I would fix the front cap and the entry door. Because those are the things that you're going to see every time. The front cap, every time you're in a park, unless you're in this park. Most parks, you're backed in, and that's what everybody's seeing. That's what you see every time you come to your coach. And if you don't want to spend the money to redo the whole coach, because that's very expensive, the front cap is probably the area that's worth, you know, investing some money into. And as well as, you know, if you ever go to sell it, that's the kind of thing. The entry door, I used to work at a dealership for a couple of years, and that was one of the things that was always stressed. The front cap and the entry door have to be perfect. Everything else, you know, what happens on the back corner, you know, they may probably not, they're going to be excited. They're going to look at the floor plan, and they're going to see what they saw when they got into the floor and inside the coach. So what happens on the back end is not really that important. So another thing, peeling clear coat on the roof coves. So that's going to be the areas at the top of the windshield there, the area on the top of the back cap, and then the area that would be above where this awning is right here down both sides. That's very, very common. If you don't have it right now, you've probably already paid to have it fixed, because just about everybody has had that by now on these coaches. Again, that's not something that is going to get worse over time. It's going to keep losing the clear coat, but it's not something you have to run out and worry about. But cosmetically, it's not the most appealing thing to see, the clear coat peeling off the coach. So that's a very common thing that we get asked a lot. The peeling clear coat on the rear caps is a tough one, because everybody's got the murals. If you had your murals on the back, there isn't a good way to save the clear coat and save the mural. You're gonna replace the clear coat, you're gonna affect the paint underneath. So I've done some creative things where we've kind of outlined where it's recessed in, and we go around it and we fix the rest of the clear, and then we kind of just do a light re-clear over the mural area so we can save it. But that's not, it doesn't look as good, but it does save the mural, but it's not going to last. It's still not going to last as long as the rest of the clear coat repair. So we have done that, because I know a lot of people love their murals and they would hate to see them go. So that is an option that's a workaround that we can do to kind of try and save the mural, but it's not recommended. It's not recommended procedure, but I understand if it's the mural or nothing, then we'll figure out a way to save the mural if we can. So that was kind of the key points that I wanted to hit that were specific to your guys' coaches, but yeah, also the most common questions. Yes.
With the Phylon roof,
yes,
design from the earlier out until 2001, when they went to the all aluminum roof.
Yeah.
How do you recommend treating that? Is there a good roll-on product that would reinvigorate that membrane?
Yeah, so the roll-on products are, most of them, there's some of them that are actually decent. There's a lot of them that aren't very good.
Right.
And so we don't really get into that because a lot of those are kind of do-it-yourself type projects. It's not something that somebody comes to have us do. So I don't have a lot of experience with which ones are good or bad other than stuff that I've tried myself. And I don't like Phylon roofs, you know, at all. It's not a good product for a roof to begin with. I would seriously consider, it's not something that I do yet, although it's something I'm looking at doing, is they have a product that's very similar to the bed liner that goes in the back of a truck. And those get, you can spray that on the roof and it becomes very, very durable. We just repaired a fifth wheel that went underneath a, you know, when you go like into a ranch and it has the those crossbars, like, you know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. They thought that they had plenty of clearance, but it turned out they were about a foot
almost
too tall.
Right. Ouch.
And maybe 2 feet too tall, actually. It wasn't even close. But it scraped up the front, it cracked the front cap, scraped up the front cap, and actually hit that bed liner and just peeled everything off on the roof, the ACs, everything. But that the roof coating stayed perfectly intact. So I really became a believer at that point. That, I actually went up and talked to the guy that did it and said, man, this is impressive. So so I would say probably in that situation, that'd be worth the money.
Any of the marine deck covering products, have you seen those adapted to roof treatments?
I haven't. I've seen some people try and do some creative things, and sometimes it works, but a lot of times it doesn't. And when stuff doesn't go well, a lot of times redoing what you did is worse than... Yeah, for a while, there was a guy, he'd put out a video about using Mopping Glow on the side of his... it was a gel coat, like we were talking about earlier, a gel coat sided coach. And it was all chalky, and he put out this Mopping Glow video, and it got a ton of views, because I had people coming into the shows, and they're like, have you seen this? Is this a good... And I'm like, I don't know, that's not what it's recommended for, and I haven't experienced it. Well, about... I must have been about 6 or 9 months later, the same guy put a follow-up video. And he said, do not do this! This was the worst decision I've made in my life! Because it had all turned yellow. And it was a really hard, coating to get off, and it was a nightmare for him. So so a lot of this getting creative and trying to use a product that wasn't really designed for it, I'm very hesitant. I'm really against fads to begin with. So when there's a new product that comes out and everybody tells me it's a great, I'm like, well, give it 5 years, you know.
Yeah, let's see how it plays out under time.
Yeah, exactly. Because I've seen a lot of stuff come and go, and it's a lot of it is not... It's just not great. So I just, let's give it time and stick with the stuff that we know works well. So,
What kind of sealer do you recommend for the roofs? I mean, you talk about going back and checking your seals. What sealer do you recommend?
So, we use a lot of Dicor. That's the primary one that we're going to use. I always recommend, just make sure, so anyway, this might be something to pass along too. A lot of people don't. If you have a rubber roof, an EPDM roof, and you use a typical urethane sealant, even a good quality one, it will not adhere to the rubber. So if you have friends with EPDM roofs, do not let them put just any sealant on there. It's actually worse because it's a false sense of security, so they think they're fine, and they have no protection whatsoever. So Dicor is one of like only two that actually work to where it bites into the EPDM. So just a side note, if you know people that are out there sealing up their roofs, make sure if they have a rubber roof, they're using Dicor. We do use it a lot, though, even on non-rubber roofs, just because we do stock it, because so many vehicles have rubber roofs now. It's just important to use a nice self-leveling sealant on a lot of your stuff, like your horns and your antennas and stuff like that, because that really flows out real nice. Acrylar was one I used for a lot of years. That was Monaco did that, actually used a lot of that from the factory as well, and that works really well. The only downside with that is it takes a long time to set up. So if you put on the Acrylar and then you try and drive it, you know, 20 minutes later, you're gonna have a real big mess on your hands. So
it may move.
It does move. Yes.
What's your hourly shop rate?
So right now we do, for insurance, we do 145 and customer pay is 135. So,
what do you use for sealant around the seams on the sides?
So I'll use 100% silicone Just as good, but the good stuff, not the cheap $4 tube stuff. In fact, it's gone. I don't know if anybody's bought silicone lately. In the last month, it is
doubled,
maybe tripled even. Jeez. I just spent $20 on a tube of silicone, but it was a special, it was a silver silicone. But even the other good silicone, you're looking at $16+ a tube now.
Wow.
And I used to get it for 4 or 5, you know, years ago. Then it was 8 for a long time, and then 12. And now, yeah, so it's really jumped up in the last few months.
So if you're redoing the seam, how do you get the old silicone out?
So that is very tricky. So I will, if I'm doing, the way I would do it and the way I would tell somebody to do it is different. So I do it, I use a razor blade and I cut it along here, and then I also would cut it this way, very, very carefully, and then I can peel the whole strip out. But if you're not careful with the razor blade, you'll gouge, and then you have to repaint the sidewall. So that's not the best way for somebody that doesn't do it every day, but usually a sharp plastic scraper and some, we use like a wax and grease remover, a degreaser that'll soften it up, and then the plastic scraper that's, you keep really sharp as you go, that'll do a pretty good job cutting it out, and it won't, it shouldn't mar up the coach. Anything more severe than what you could just rub out, some light scratches by hand. So, and you don't always have to cut all the cone out. If it's in good condition, you have a bad spot, you know, you can just do that area. You don't have to redo everything all the time. Same with your roof. If you're doing, especially with the self-leveling, that stuff really covers over everything. So if you have a small, an area that's, you know, say this big, and it's reasonable for the whatever it is you're filling, it's okay to go over that and make the new spot just slightly bigger with the self-leveling. And it'll, as long as you clean it very, very good, it should flow over it. Now, if it's really dried and cracked and deteriorated, it's got to come out. But if you're doing maintenance and it's not bad, but you want to do it more preventative, then it's not. You can sometimes clean it up real good and just go over top of it. So,
is a heat gun advised in removal of old sealant up on the roof? The Dycor responds
well. I haven't really found a benefit to doing heat on sealant removal. Now, when we do 3M film, the protective film on the front, we definitely use heat on that, or any type of vinyl or decals, we use heat on that all the time. But not really something that we found that beneficial to on the sealant removal.
Do you do the replacement protective vinyl, the 3M product?
Yeah, lots of that. So we actually have, here, we're fortunate enough to have a guy that he's, I think probably one of the best guys in the country at installing it. So what we do is we remove it. We'll do any paint repairs that inevitably happen in the removal process, fix any chips, and then he comes in. He's his own business. He comes in and installs the film. He does a really fantastic job. I wish I had him at my Arizona shop all the time. Is Arizona too far for you to come down and put this film on? But yeah, we do a lot of that. And that's another product that's kind of interesting. You talk about fads. So we had... I remember, and some of you that have been doing this for a long time, I remember when everybody had to have the acrylic, well, worse than the bra, but that acrylic clear bra, the big, thick, and everybody thought that was the greatest thing, and we had to have it.
The Ben-Hur.
Yes, yeah. And then you realize that as much as you hate cleaning a window, this is like putting a window on the front of your coach and cleaning both sides of it every time you drove it anywhere, and it's plastic, and it faded, and it got hazy and looked terrible. So we went from installing those to then removing those and filling all those fiberglass holes and painting it. And about that time is when the protective film became so popular. So now everybody's getting rid of these things and putting the film on. And then another 5 or 7 or 10 years go by and
off comes this,
everybody's like, I hate this film, get this off here, this is the worst thing I ever did. It's probably about a 50-50 mix now of people that decide to put the film back on or just leave it off. But there's a lot of people that don't like the film. But really, it lasts for 5 to 7 years and it does a good job in that time period. From that point on, when you start getting it to be 10, 12, 15 years, yeah, it's not going to look good. It's going to be terrible. And it's really terrible to get off at that point, too. So it becomes a challenge for sure. So, yeah.
The cool seal tape that is available, is that any good for sealing the tape or sealing this, like the front seam?
Yeah, so some of that tape is really incredible. Now, I was, again, very skeptical. I said, I don't believe it. And then I actually, there's some I did find an interesting YouTube video. I do a lot of, believe it or not, there's a lot of good information on YouTube, even for somebody that's been doing it for a long time. A guy did a very good test where he compared three different brands and tested their tension, their adhesion, with actually using a weight. If you're buying a good quality, those sealant tapes, they work very, very well.
Yeah, they're cool seal. When it's on, it's on.
Yeah, yeah, it is, and they really bond well, even to rubber, even to EPDM, which very few things really bite onto that, and it's amazing. It's definitely something that I would keep in your tool bag as RVers, because, you know, Gorilla Tape's amazing, baling wire, you gotta have some of that, you know, but I would add that after seeing that and doing some stuff with it recently and testing it myself, I'm definitely a believer, so. And it's not that expensive. The one I've been using, because it's pretty readily available, is Gorilla Tape is now making that same sealant. It's a 4-inch wide roll. It works good.
Not as expensive, I hope.
It's not quite as much money. And you can get it at like Home Depot and places where it's not a special order item, like some of the Eternabond. Yeah. Eternabond is not always easy to find, although that is also a very, very good tape.
Cool seal.
Kind of the gold standard.
Yeah, it is. It is the gold standard. Camping World sells one that's like Eternabond. It is not the same. I would steer away from that. Don't get that.
It's the Chinese ripoff.
Yeah, it's not. It's not worth it. It's not good.
Have you had any experience with installing or painting to match the AirTab products?
The tabs?
Yeah, the ones air
that go,
tabs.
Like the little air foils that go on the side?
Yeah, the vortex generators that go on with the 3M stick-em.
Yeah, yeah, so we'll do that from time to time. It's not very common. It's one of those things where the guys that have them, love them, swear by them, say it's the best thing they ever did to their coach. But most people don't do it. So I haven't personally used one to do any like real checking, but like I said, the guys that do it that are really into to check and all that stuff,
are they easily paintable?
Plastic is never truly easily paintable. They are paintable,
yeah.
But being that they stick out a little bit, does everybody know what he's talking about? Those little okay. So because they're kind of out in harm's way, they do tend to catch like tree branch scratches and stuff.
They give you extras.
Yeah, they do. They give you some extra width, and so. Plastic already doesn't have as good adhesion as you're going to get on your aluminum or fiberglass. So you got to keep that in mind. So yes, they are paintable, but if you go slamming them up against trees, the paint's probably going to come off. So, yeah. All right. Any other questions? No? We're getting down through it. I would say a couple other things. Preventative things, just the things that I've learned from doing this for a long time, and I'm going to be giving a seminar in Albany on Friday, so if you guys are going to that, you'll hear this part repeated again, but it's things, you know, things to do to prevent a lot of the accidents that we see, and a couple of those things are going to be, when you have a spotter, for one, make sure you have a spotter, but two, have one spotter that understands the communication. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing when you have that person and you guys know exactly what you're talking about. I've seen it a lot of times. We've all seen it where you pull into a park and there's two or three guys more than willing to help out, and they're pointing every other direction, and somebody's not inevitably looking up or somebody's not looking down, and they back them into something. So really have one spotter and just ignore everybody else and just listen to it. Take your time. Everybody else can wait. It doesn't matter. That's
very
another
good
one.
Spotter when you leave.
There you go, yeah. And then the other thing is I'd say is don't change your plans. So a classic example is you pull into a fuel station. We fix a lot of damage along the compartment doors from the ballards that are near the gas pumps. It's super, super common. And almost every time when you talk to them and find out what happens, you had a plan when you pulled into the fuel station. And then something happened while you were there that made it to where you had to change that plan. Somebody pulled in, they parked in a weird angle, whatever it was, and then you did something different and you made that judgment from the driver's seat and then quickly remembered why it was you couldn't do that thing that you just did. And now it's a little late. So that would be another thing I would say, just as a recommendation to avoid ending up in the body shop, is stick to the plan, And then if you're going to have to modify it, either wait, just wait. And so many answers, so many times, it's just wait.
He sticks with the plan, but then he cusses.
That's fair. I mean, that's fine. I don't see anything wrong with that. But, I mean,
the aluminum skin.
Actually, I'm glad that you brought that up, because that was one more thing I wanted to mention. Both with electrolysis and with the slice on these treks. So there is only one proper repair for when you damage one of these walls, and that is to actually replace the entire length of that wall section. And it is a huge process, and it's a challenge. You got to keep it taut as you're working your way down it. It really is a pain. I've done them. I do not like to do them. But if that's the only way to do it, we can do that. The alternative that actually works pretty well, and it's what I would do if I was in the situation, either of a spot of electrolysis that was so bad that there's actually a hole in the side, or that's the tear that you just mentioned, is we take a thin gauge aluminum sheet and we'll do an overlay using panel bond, which gives you a very, very good bond. And then once we paint that and carry the graphics through, it's really not that noticeable, especially when you can compare the alternative of what it would cost to potentially replace an entire sidewall section versus just that overlay. And so we have really good results with that. So I would not ever replace a sidewall section on one of these at this point. Unless it was like a huge crease that ran the majority of the panel, and actually ripped through it. Cause even if it's just a crease, I will bodywork that. If it's a tear, you either replace it or you overlay it. So, and that is one of the other downsides about having the aluminum sidewalls is the repairability of that.
We had that happen to us, and we had a tear.
Yeah.
And ours was repaired in here in
Coburg?
Junction City.
Oh, Junction City, yeah.
But they did not overlay it. They used some kind of a bonding material. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, called. So you can use a metal panel bond, but...
It came out looking good, but... They said that it may end up sinking, and if they did, we'd have to bring it back.
Shrink back, yeah. And did it?
No, it did not.
Okay, so that's probably 1 in 10,000 then. You got very lucky. They almost always will shrink back or re-crack. So that's good. It's fortunate for you that it didn't fail. But they do have a high fail rate when you're trying to do that without, because ultimately it's. You know, it would be nice to weld it, but that's not realistic. No. That's not an option. So without welding as an option, replacement is kind of the only other option. So you got lucky there. Yes?
So remember, I'm the new one.
Yeah.
So is there something... So when I grew up on the Oregon coast, and, you know, my mom's 57 Chevy, when it got rust on it, she'd just take some Rust-Oleum out there and just paint it.
Right.
So I don't want to recommend that.
Right.
But
yeah.
So when you live on the coast like that.
Right.
I mean, because.
Buy a blue tarp.
That was kind of my question, because we went to the local RV guy, Stumpy, and he said, don't cover the RV.
Right. So I actually.
Or wet is preventative wet. Is there anything?
So I agree with Stumpy in that. And when you're in a very wet environment, covering them is really not a good option.
You mean like wrapping something over.
Yeah, I don't like that at all, actually. It traps a lot of moisture. Not just the paint needs to breathe to some degree. So when you, like, say, for instance, if we were to paint the same paint and put it on a boat and then put the boat in the water for 6 months, when you pull it out, the entire paint job is going to be blistered and destroyed. So when you wrap it with heavy moisture in the air, and you wrap it where it can't breathe, you have potential of blistering the whole paint job. Mm-hmm. So a tight wrap is definitely not recommended ever. So are you talking about like for storage or for when you're actually using the couch?
Well, it lives in the driveway.
Okay.
About less than half a mile from the beach, you know, salt. It's right. Salt air.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, you're constantly in a haze.
So really you want to minimize the exposed metal surfaces that don't have some type of treatment on there. And you want to make sure that you're eliminating any potential chance of leakage. So, again, it's back to, you know, keep it clean, check your sealant regularly, make sure that all of your seals are good, and try and eliminate any spots of, if you see a spot of exposed aluminum, maybe a door or something's been rubbing on it and becomes just exposed, go ahead and just put a little touch-up paint on the edge. But the more of the edges you can keep coated, the better. Some of that electrolysis is going to happen because you're in a salty air environment. You can't prevent all of that from getting, you know, it's just, it's everywhere in our atmosphere. It's going to happen. So, but you can, by keeping up on, you know, keeping up on your sealant, making sure it's not getting wet inside, you can minimize it, you know. And also, with any vehicle at the coast, frequent washing is always a good idea, too.
The just fresh to kind water of, wash down.
Yes, that, that'll do a lot. So, yep, so, and that's true with your boats, your cars, your coaches, everything, is frequent washes what is really helpful at the coast.
Is waxing on top of the wash?
Waxing is great for keeping, getting the most life out of your paint and keeping it clean. Is great. It's not really going to, it wouldn't necessarily stop corrosion from happening, but it is, it's very helpful for keeping the coach, like I said, keeping the paint.
Clear coat, peeling.
It, once the clear coat, once it gets to that age, it's, yeah, it's done. Everybody wants to start waxing after it's like it's already, this, that ship has already sailed. Yeah. So, you want to wax from the beginning, once a year minimum, twice a year is better. I like doing the dry wash in between the waxes. I think that's a great way to maintain it. It's not, I don't believe it's a substitute for wax. A lot of people are asking me about Ceramicoat these days. I think it's a good product. I think it's way outrageously overpriced for the what they charge to install it. The way I break it down is most of, when I've done the pricing, it looks like Ceramicoating is about 5 times more to have it installed than what a good exterior detail and wax job would be. And if you look at a job that had Ceramicoating put on it, after about 3 years, it's hard to tell that anything was ever done to it. If you looked at a coach that just had its third wax job in 3 years done to it, it's going to look brand new. So I would rather spend the money and have my coach polished and waxed every year for 5 years than I would do it once and then have it look so-so for the next 2.5 years. And then reapply it at the end of the 5th year. Now, there's people that absolutely love it. It's not a waste of money, unlike a lot of the stuff that dealerships will sell you. It's just more money than necessary for what they're charging. So that's my opinion on ceramic coat.
The gel coat on the edges of the roof. I've had people recommend just get a paint coat and do a single part paint along that edge.
Yeah.
Coat all together. Have you done that sort of
thing? No, because that's a terrible way to do it. So these are the problems with that. So one, the area of the clear coat that's peeling that you're seeing, that is only a fraction. All of that has been exposed to the exact same amount of sun. So it's all ready to, it's already deteriorated and it's already started to delaminate. It's lost its adhesion for the length of the coach. So just because one area looks bad, there wasn't anything wrong with that spot that isn't wrong with the spot right down 6 feet down the way. So really, you have to treat it all the same as one piece. So a lot of times what people do is they see the bad spot, they sand it out, and then they just repaint over what's the remainder. Well, you just painted over a bunch of stuff that's like a plastic sheet that's just barely hanging on the edges, and as soon as it rips open, it's going to peel. So that was just a waste of time and materials. The second problem with that is that you mentioned a single component paint. Well, base coat, clear coat, when it comes in metallics, which is what we're looking at here, that's what gives it the sparkle. To try and do a metallic in a single stage or single component is extremely difficult. Even painters that have been painting for 20 years have a very difficult time painting single stage and making it maintain the metallics correctly, the orientation all the way through. So metallic paint is almost always sprayed as a base coat, clear coat. So if you try and get the inexpensive single stage paint in a metallic, one, it won't match because the metallic's not going to orient correctly the way it lays, and it's going to be very difficult to spray out, and so you're going to have a mess. So, but that's a great question because I do have people ask that, and there's a lot of times people give advice that sounds like they really know what they're talking about. And it's best not to, it's good to double check or triple check what you heard, because sometimes that can be bad advice.
Changing the subject just a little bit, as a provider with dealing with insurance companies across the entire board, is there any particular insurance company that you deal with on a regular basis that you would not really ever like to deal with again, as opposed to, say, for instance, XYZ insurance company, which is a dream?
Right. So that's a fun question because it changes. The answer changes. I've done this long enough to know now I won't ever support any of them because they always seem to change their policies and then I hate them after I said I really like them. So
policyholders experience the same thing.
What's that? Yeah, exactly. We experience the same thing as policyholders. So it's, you could say what I, who I like today, you know, but it, that wasn't who I liked 5 years ago and definitely not who I liked 10 years ago. So
tomorrow is a whole different thing.
So, okay. So unfortunately, that's not an easy answer because it does change. If I had to badmouth one insurance company today, I would probably pick Geico at the top of my list of companies that I don't like.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't generally, you know, talk bad about, but I will say that, we just had a 2000, so we also do boats. And so we have a 2016 Yamaha boat in our shop in Arizona. It's a beautiful boat. And, they took our, the guy had got a bunch of damage on the bottom of the hull, so we're gonna end up doing a good chunk of gel coat repair painting. They took our estimate and then they chopped 30% off of the estimate on anything to do with refinish because they prorated the age of the paint 30%. At 2016, they thought it was 30% of its life was gone, even though the boat was in perfect condition. And knocked 30% all the way across it on the refinish and said the customer's responsible for that.
So
I think that's a pretty low, dirty thing to do. I think that's terrible. So so it doesn't hurt my feelings to talk bad about them because I think that's a really, really poor way to handle a claim.
I have Geico stories from decades ago that I can share.
And that's the one, that's probably the one that has maintained its low status the whole time. I don't think there's ever been a time where I've said I really like them. So that's, I would say that. And then and as far as good, I would, they're, most of them are pretty decent. The ones that understand RVs and that chose to be in that market, have a basic understanding of RVers' needs and understanding that kind of thing. So we really don't have much difficulty working with any insurance company. The only one, like I said, that does really somewhat seemingly shady stuff would be probably Geico. So if any of you have Geico, you might start shopping for some other.
My condolences.
Because you won't really know how bad they are until after you have a claim. So that would be the one thing that's,
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's great. Names in the bowl. And what's that? We got names in the bowl? Which bowl? Oh, all right. Everybody's in here?
I don't know. I don't think I put our names.
It is not even close to that.
Are you to move in with us?
But there is some wine and some cheese and some meat and some other goodies. All right. Lynn Ashbridge.
Yeah!
You don't like wine, do you?
No,
you don't
wine.
Like wine, do you?
No wine.
Oh. Oh, okay. All right. Well, thanks for having me. It's great to see you guys still getting together and keeping these coaches around. You know, I not that I'm some, prognosticator of future events, but I do truly believe that Trex, if there's an RV out there that I could see being brought back as a vintage, highly sought after vehicle, I think the Trex is very much in line to become that. I think that we've seen a huge push with these little tiny Sprinter vans, and it doesn't take long to realize that those things are just not big enough. And the natural transition is going to be to find these in good condition, and I think that I wouldn't be surprised to see the values actually start going up as the demand goes up.
Let me tell you, you buy the Trek because of the bed, and you sell the Trek because of the bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll second that.
Yeah. There is that.
There is that.
All right, well, thanks for having me, guys.
Certainly,
great time.
Thank you.
We'll head out. I got cards here and brochures, and we'll be up in Albany for the show, so come by and say hi. And I'll be up there Friday and Saturday. Kelly will be working at the booth Wednesday and Thursday. So. All right, have a good night.